kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pōho he parakuihi tēnei. You're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. Oh man, we're excited for this.
We're so excited.
We've got the man, the myth, the legend, Shane Carter on the line. Morena, Shane.
Oh, very mythical, yes.
Very mythical.
Morning, Rosetta Homerly. What was that music just playing then?
That was Scran. Did you like it?
Who is it, sorry?
Scran.
Who's that?
They're a Kiwi band, I believe. I think they're from Tamaki Makaurau. Yeah, they're real cool.
Right. Do you think? Because I kind of think sort of that loud kind of agit stuff like that. Do you think there seems to be a lot of punk rock about at the moment?
There's a lot of post-punk is having a real moment. I wonder if it's a recession indicator or what, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, well, now is the time to have a bit of that agit, aggravated stuff, isn't it? You know,
For sure.
I was just down in Dunedin, and I went to a really great underage gig last weekend just to see what was going on. And there's some really good sort of quite punky bands like SOG, the high school bands, you know, mid-teens, and there was SOG who were really good. And Seek Help, which was an all-girl band from Queens High. They were kicking ass.
Awesome. Oh, they're so good, Seek Help.
You know of them?
Yeah. I was actually listening to Radio 1 for...
Oh, yeah.
Trade industry research, it is.
They're
great interviewers as well. They're just amazing.
Can you imagine...
No, they're cool.
Can you imagine being in a high school punk band and Shane Carter comes to your gig?
Oh,
Way back in the mythical ages, I was in a high school punk band myself.
Oh yeah, board games.
That's right, and the really great thing about what I saw down there was just the scene the Dunedin. So it was real strong, and you know, like there's a real lineage going on there, and then just to see the sort of new generation coming through, and I'm not sort of being massively parochial or anything, but there's sort of something in the water down there, and there's something in the lineage of bands, and like there's words like authenticity, which is a bit shit, but it is kind of is authentic, you know.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Millie and I have been talking all morning about how much we loved Life in One Chord. We've both seen it this week, and it's just beautiful. It's really special to get all these new insights into your story. You must feel very perceived now by everyone.
Mm.
Well, yeah, that's kind of being perceived by everyone. That's kind of creepy, but, don't you think? Like, if you're being perceived by everyone.
Yeah.
But, because I put out a book, and that was kind of quite open, and... Mm. I felt quite open.
Vulnerable,
but like a part of me, to having been in the public eye for most of my life, you know, you can't really sort of take a lot of public perception on board. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like if you took everything to heart, you wouldn't do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was kind of over myself, and then Margaret came along to do the movie. And I really like Margaret, and I really respect her, and which is why I ended up doing the movie with her. But for a lot of the process, I kind of thought, I'm just over it. You know, like I just wanted to play my guitar and be that person. And, you know, as far as being delivered to the public like that. But I snuck a look at the documentary recently, and I thought Margaret did a really lovely job. So, and people seem to really be... kind of touched by it, so it's really good.
I think so. And Carol Hirschfeld, what a great narrator, eh? Such an icon.
It was sort of such an unlikely collab because, you know, Carol talks in such measured tones, right?
Yeah.
You know, in her measured broadcaster voice. But I actually really love that. I really love the sort of contrast, her reading my punky paragraphs in that voice. And even the fact that it was a woman reading my story, you know, I like that too. And it was just sort of turned everything on its head. And, yeah, it was cool. It really worked out. Also, it would have been just too much, you know, if I was narrating it as well as being in it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we absolutely loved it. I mean, we've had people, I also agree with them, say that it's essential New Zealand viewing. How do you feel about that, Shane?
Well, I'm not really sort of the person to, you know, pass that kind of judgment, I think. But, I don't know. What do I think about where it fits in the pantheon? I actually don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's just Margaret followed me around for several... She, The one thing I do love about it is that Margaret, she did, you know, through COVID and all that kind of stuff, she actually followed me around for about 7 years.
Wow.
And what I really like about it is that she didn't get any funding from anybody, from the Film Commission, or she's turned down for funding. And so she made it completely off her own bat. And the fact that she achieved what she said she was going to do and saw it through. And I say that to a lot of creative friends, you know, I think if you actually write that book or make that record or make that film or the completion of it, that's your victory. And then you put it out to the public, that's all sort of secondary stuff. But actually finishing what you said you were going to do, that is when you should feel really good about it. And Margaret did do that. And I'm just really happy that her project is getting the props it's getting, because one thing you can't fake is heart. And, you know, I think what she made has got heart to it, you know, and heart will always trump any budget or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But you can go see, I went and saw that Superman movie recently, and $300 million have been spent on that. And I thought, who gave $300 million to that piece of shit? And it was obscene. And, like, it was so trite. And It was just so cheap. But it was worth $300 million. And, yeah, well, you know, when you're talking about punk rock as well, you know, it's just that thing that a good idea or spirit is always going to beat, you know, finances. And I think you can apply that right across the board in life.
Oh, for sure. And I think Margaret doing this film with little budget and in a grassroots sort of manner aligns really well with your story and your music and where you've come from. And I think that translates.
Yeah, exactly. She said pretty much that to me. She said, well, this is what the film's about, and I'm making the film in this kind of way as well. So, you know, good on you, Margaret. Good on us.
Yeah, good on you guys.
Good on you guys.
Well done.
We ate it up like dinner. I loved it.
I loved all the little stories, like the board games one of at the school talent show, and you ripping apart your poor little sister's teddy bear. I was like, such a classic mean teenage brother move.
Yeah, she reminds me of that. I don't know, probably on a weekly basis.
She's never let it go. It might be time.
Well, and, you know, the really ironic thing is that she is actually the guardian of my teddy bear, and she's left it alone. And my teddy bear that I've had since I was a baby, which is still sitting, and she looks after it in the Dunedin house. But yeah, ironies of ironies, I actually went back a couple of years ago, and I was actually the judge at the Talent Quest. So yeah, talk about full circle.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really full circle. Oh, cool.
Yeah. We should speak about these live shows. You've just played Great Sounds Great. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. I played in a church, the St. Peter's Church there, which is a really beautiful venue, and yeah, that was really lovely. And yeah, I kind of So I'm doing some solo shows, and I've sort of been doing a lot of soundtrack work and more sort of instrumental kind of stuff, improv bands. I've got a record coming out at the NZSO. Also got a score that I just did for the Royal New Zealand Ballet, blah, blah, blah. So I've sort of been doing these not high art or something like that, but sort of more instrumental kind of stuff. So with the acoustic stuff, I just thought, oh, man, I've actually got a bunch of songs sitting in my bag, so I just want to play some of my songs with singing and choruses and things. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing over the next month, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, lovely.
We're so excited to have you up in Tāmaki Makaurau again. You're playing tomorrow at Double Whammy with Louise Anicklin and Jim Nothing. Awesome lineup.
Good lineup. Great lineup. Yeah. Mm. Awesome.
Those guys are so cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a super nice lineup. So, the only thing is that I can actually exclusively reveal is that when I got off the plane last night coming up from Wellington, because I arrived really late, someone took my bag, and that's got all my guitar pedals in it.
No!
So I'm really hoping that the person who took my bag looks in and realises that they haven't got any use for guitar pedals and return it. Yeah.
Oh, so what a bugger.
That's a little bit of tension going down to the line, but, oh, well, I'm sure it'll turn out. Worst things have happened at sea.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that, Shane.
If you're listening to BFM right now, give Shane his guitar pedals back.
I don't think they'll be listening, but yeah, thanks. Honourable effort there. Thank you.
Yeah, it a crack.
So it'll be quite a stripped back, acoustic-y sounding set tomorrow night, will it?
Yeah, kind of. But you know, at the same time, I didn't want to be the no disparaging people who play acoustic sets, but I didn't want to be the guy plink plonking lonely away on his little acoustic, you know, earnestly singing his little folk tunes. So yeah, I want to rock it. I kind of rock it up a bit and try to make it a bit psychedelic and stuff. So I will see. You know, I guess it's not, you know, walk it rather than talk it. So we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So cool! What a special chance for everyone to, especially after seeing the movie this week, sort of see you playing a bit of newer material as well.
You know, that's right. Mix it up. Yeah, got some new songs and some old songs and all that kind of stuff. Where'd you see the movie? What theatre?
Millie, you saw it at the Hollywood.
Yeah, I went to the Hollywood in Avondale.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, classic.
Yeah, it was mean. I took my dad.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice one. Did he like it?
Yeah, and he recognised, like, heaps of people in the crowd. Yeah, so it kind of turned into a bit of a reunion in ways.
My parents have just seen it down in Wellington as well, and I watched it up here, and so it's been a lot of... I feel like there's been a lot of cross-generational chat about Flying Nun and New Zealand music. It's cool.
Mm. Yeah, good one. Cool. Yeah, nice one. And did they play it loud?
Oh, it was so... That's what I loved. My main takeaway was hearing those tracks at that volume, kind of surround sound. It was, like, just incredible. It was how it's supposed to be played.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, it's what those pieces of music are. Yeah, I didn't actually go to any of the screenings because I couldn't actually handle it because it was too full on. So I haven't actually seen it on a big screen. But yeah.
Oh, it's hard being a big movie star, Shane.
It is.
Oh,
we feel for you.
Especially when I'm so sensitive.
you'll be pleased to hear that we've already got texters asking about what pedals you need and that you can borrow theirs.
Oh, nice. Oh, thanks, Pete. Well, look, I might be doing some begging on drive this afternoon.
Yeah, you're good.
I'll see if I get my suitcase back. Hopefully I do, yeah.
It must feel good for you to just be back, you know, doing what you love, playing and singing and all of that.
Yeah, well, I've always done it, but, you know, I've been around for ages and, you know, you sort of ebb in and out of the public consciousness, you know, and... you know, the tide goes in, the tide goes out. But, I got to say, you know, yeah, it's been a real good, it's been a really nice way for me to ride over the last, but yeah, it's been good. But, yeah, like I say, you sort of flick in and out of fashion and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, you know, my main goal really is just, you know, all through really is you just try to do good work, you know, and whether people get it or not, you know. That's something you can't control. And, yeah, you know, but I've always a firm believer that, you know, the cream always rises to the top. So if you do good work, you know, there's going to be some people who are going to find it, you know, and maybe even on a real low level, but that connection with other peeps who dig it and get it, you know, that's your reward, you know. And so when I have people come up and say, oh, you know, I found it really inspirational when I heard that, you know, and like I say, it's on quite a modest level, but... you know, you're sharing something, you know, you're sharing something that other people haven't articulated, and when they hear it articulated, that's what moves them, and yeah, blah, 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 anyway, rock and roll.
Rock and roll, it'll find the right people.
Thank you so much for making the time for a kōrero with us this morning, Shane.
Yeah, nice talking to you. Yeah, good one.
Lovely.
Rock on.
Rock on, rock indeed. On. We're going to listen to Bad Note for a Heart from Straight Jacket.
All righty.
Thanks so much, Shane.
Right. Thanks, Shane.
Guys. Ka kite.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
treat me.